those. So what I'd like to do this evening is do the panorama of a constructive tongue. And as you see in the top of your handout there, these are compiled by, these 15 things are compiled from Mattoon's Treasures on the Tongue. It's a commentary that I have by this man called Mattoon's Treasures. And he put all these verses down, the verses, different things as I saw them. And so then we've studied each one of them and looked at them to see what is it, what does a constructive tongue look like? What does it look like? What do we have, what is practice as he's given us his word? What is this that's practiced? What must we be manifesting in our lives to have a constructive tongue? But first of all, as we look at that word, that constructive tongue, as I might think it, may I ask you, what is a constructive tongue? You would each have different ideas of what a constructive tongue is, and we'll see a lot of your thinking average will be in this, plus much more. But just what do you think a constructive tongue is? What would be a constructive tongue? Yeah, Dan.
One that builds up.
Okay, good. That pretty much puts it in a nutshell, doesn't it? Because we think of construction, and construction is building up, and there's got to be a foundation there. And so it's building up and putting things together. It's not tearing anything down. So we see it would be using our speech or communication, one definition of a dictionary that had, to improve or advance or help someone to be built up. One of the definitions is, in the dictionary, is to use your speech, also your communication, to improve, advance, or help someone else to be built up. You see, when you're constructing a building, of course, or remodeling, you are leading to improvements or advances that are all positive. So you're improving something that you started with. So when you have a constructive tongue, something has to be being improved. And so when we're talking to someone, of course, it's always to someone. And so with this in mind, the communication of our words should be no less. We need to be building up others for the cause of Christ, since we are all made after the what? Image of God. So that's why it's so important that we be careful. And so a destructive tongue, of course, a speech, is not to be tolerated, as we learned in James 3:10. So let's look at the panorama, the characteristics of a constructive tongue. And let's, all of you that are looking at the ones all down at the beginning, stop right now, go up to number one. You will get to it. And let's look at the characterization or the characteristics that are in a constructive tongue. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I do pray that we might be able to take some of these, and Lord, as we've given them the handout, that the verses there, that we'll be able to put these in a place where we can always go back to. But Lord, it so starts in our heart, our mind, because out of that abundance, that's where we speak. Help us now to concentrate on the things that we have here this evening, and that will go forward and not get bogged down, but it will be a help and an edification to all of us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So number one, as we start looking at it, and you want to turn to it, but you have the verses there, is in Psalm 37:30, the Bible says, "The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment." So here we see that a constructive tongue is characterized. What is this constructive tongue characterized by? It's by wisdom and increases your learning. So if you are using your tongue properly, it will be characterized by, you will be saying wise words, and by saying those wise words, you will increase your learning. It says the mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom. So the tongue talketh of judgment. The word speaketh there. And here's something that I think can help us a little more as we look at the word here. Remember, we always have to take words in its context. And sometimes you can do word studies and it can hinder you because you're trying to make a word say something it doesn't say. Because it does say this in another place. Or you look at a lexicon or you look at different things and say, well, look at all the words, all this means. It's used this way and this way and this way. So you take something there and put it in there and you're starting your own cult. Because you've got to look at context and what the whole area is. Here, this word where it says, the mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom. The word speaketh there is the very same word. What helps us is where the translators use it in different passages in other places in Scripture to help us understand maybe a little more the nuance. But this verb means to growl, to groan, to sigh, to mutter. It's figuratively, it means to ponder or meditate. Yes, in Joshua 1:8, where it says, you'll meditate on the law. This is the word that's used. In Psalm 1:2, meditate day and night. This is the word that's used. And so the Lord told Joshua to meditate on the law day and night. And the Psalms proclaim people blessed if they meditate on the law in Psalm 1:2. In fact, Job himself promised not to speak wickedness in Job 27:4. And so why is this? Well, in Psalm 37:30, where it says, the mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, his tongue talketh of judgment, of decisions. The word judgment would be a legal decision. It connotates several variations, depending, of course, on its context. But here it says, his tongue talketh of judgment. So the righteous speaketh wisdom and talketh of all those decisions, those right decisions. So we need to be talking about those decisions. The righteous tongue will speak wise words. In other words, it will speak things that will, remember what wisdom means? The ability to apply truth to our everyday situation. It's knowledge applied. And so we are taking the knowledge that we have and take that knowledge, and we're applying that, and that's wise. And that's where our tongue would be. And so why in verse 30 here, it says, why is this? Well, the answer is verse 31, because in verse 31 says, the law of his God is in his heart. That's why the mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, because the law of God's in his heart. That's why the tongue talketh of judgment. Why? Of discernment, of legal decisions, of God's decisions and judgments. Alexander McLaren said, that is the foundation which all permanence is built. From that as center, there is issue wise and just words in one hand and stable deeds on the other. Therefore, he who orders his footsteps by God's known will is saved from much hesitancy and stumbling and plants a firm foot in simple places, slippery places. So we see a constructive tongue is characterized by wisdom. You'll speak wise words, and you'll increase in your learning. You'll actually be talking of that judgment. In fact, look at what it says in Proverbs 10:13. In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found. But the rod is the back of him that's void of understanding or lacks heart. But the lips of him that hath understanding, discernment, wisdom is found. So in other words, if your mind is enlightened, wisdom will overflow your words. If your mind is enlightened, if you're thinking on the right things, your words will be overflowed with wisdom. And that wisdom will be found. And so we see in Proverbs 16:21, the wise in heart shall be called prudent. The sweetness of the lips increases learning. Sweet, there is a word attractive or helpful. It really promotes instruction in the sense that they make learning desirable. Do you ever have those kind of teachers? You have those teachers, boy, I like listening to that. They just, in fact, what should a teacher's goal B, to give the information in a way that you'll want to hear it. I also remember those ones that, boy, you're struggling left and right. I tell you, I sort of get a kick out of, I like what they're doing, but I get a kick out of really in Ashley and Adam as their teachers. They are the type of teachers that they always like to find certain ways that are off the grid, that they just don't, not everyone uses or everything, to communicate and teach so that they get it. So it's something interesting. Whether they use an illustration or this way, then Adam is constantly reading and on podcasts and different things, trying to find different ways where he can, I mean, really, math is a real exciting subject, isn't it? I mean, you just can't wait to take all your math classes, you know. And so he's trying to make it in a way where it will be exciting and acceptable. And you know something, really here, as we use the right words and instruction, we will learn. And you can be the receptive of that. And so that's what a constructive tongue does. Number two, it sings of God's righteousness. Remember the context here. Psalm 51, David has just what? Psalm 51 is the psalm of his repentance, along with Psalm 32. But it's talking about, and at the end of it, as he's repented from his sin, he says, deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation. And now he says, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. So a constructive tongue will speak of God's righteousness, his rightness. David's lips had been sealed by his own stubbornness. God forgave him, and so he could praise God. Only when he was delivered from his blood guiltiness, in other words, his sin, could he join the Lord in praise and sing the praise. In other words, what is this simply saying in our terms? Can you put it in other terms for me? Let's try to get it some way. What other ways could you put that? As we say, it will sing of God's righteousness, a constructive tongue, but in this passage in 51:14, what is he talking about? When will you sing of that righteousness? Can all believers sing of God's righteousness? Yes. When can you? Think of it, put it together. What is the context here talking about? David was what? Was David right with God? No, he wasn't until what? He repented. So this psalm, yes, I would say by the time we get down to verse 14, he was right with God. Because he had, and how long does it take God to forgive? Okay? So when we look at down here, yes, but it's a psalm of repentance. And so in other words, we can sing, our words can sing of his righteousness only if our heart is what with God? Is right with God. I think that's put in a simple way. So that's why we've got to make sure that our heart is right with God. David did. And then we can sing of God's righteousness. We can use our tongues the way God wants us to. He wants us to sing of his righteousness. David knew that. Why do you think he said that to God? He prayed that to God. After I have this all over with you forgiven me, I want to sing of your righteousness. Why would he want to sing of his righteousness? Because God said, praise him, praise him. Read the Psalms. And how many Psalms of David? He is what? Saying, praise the Lord. Every man that hath breaths, praise the Lord. All through the Psalms, praise the Lord. The Lord wants us to praise him. David knew that, but he knew that the praise was only words and not from the heart until he got right with God. And so the right types of things that come from that mouth need to be praised to God. That's constructive. Number three, that constructive tongue exalts, praises, and glorifies the Lord. Look what Psalm 66:17 says. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. I cried with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. The word extolled is praise, high praise. It's used of lifting up and the exaltation of God by his people. In fact, where he says there, it exalts and praises God, the context there, he says, I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. Before that, the verse before that, it says, I will offer thee burnt sacrifices of fatlings and incense of rams. I will offer bullocks with goats, Selah. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. Speaking that of praises and glory. And he then says, I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. And then what, you know what it says after that? If I regard iniquity in my heart, God's not going to hear me. But then he turns right around and says, but verily God has heard me. Praise the Lord. He has heard me. So what is he saying? I'm right with the Lord. And so that tongue that I have needs to exalt, praise God, and show the right opinion of God. One man said this, by the word glory, making God look good, it brings it down too much to the level of, God always is good, but it's our eyes over it that might not see that. But it's we need to speak words that make God, show the right opinion of God, as they would say, make God look good. But we need to speak words that will exalt him, that will show the right opinion of God. So that means how we respond to things. Constructive, not destructive. And so we see that it exalts, praises, glorifies God. Number four, it gives healing, strength, or encouragement to others. Proverbs 12:18. There is that speaketh like the piercings of the sword. Oh, there's where sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will always hurt me. Yeah, I know I've just changed it to what it really should be. But the tongue of the wise is health. What in the world? The tongue is health? That's what it's supposed to be used for. That's a constructive. This word health really indicates a healing, a remedy. It really refers to the restoration or cure or renewal of an illness or sickness. It's a masculine noun indicating peace and calmness. It refers to the state of security and stability. So as we look at it that way, what do we realize? That tongue can heal, can strengthen, can encourage others. How we say things. Again, there is that speaketh like piercings of the sword. There is words that are going to kill you. But the tongue of the wise, they're not going to do that. It's going to be health. It's going to make you feel better. You're going to get up and walk. You're going to be just feeling better because of those words from a wise person. There's a story, a good example of this, so the story of Jerry Kramer. Many of you probably don't even know who I'm talking about if you don't follow athletics, and especially if you're not my age. Jerry Kramer was a Hall of Fame guard for the Green Bay Packers. And his freshman year when he went in the Green Bay Packers, they had a coach that named Vince Lombardi. He's a Hall of Famer, and everyone knows that's what they call the Super Bowl trophy, the Vince Lombardi trophy, okay? Trying to give you a little background of it. Well, he came in his rookie year, and he had the practice there, and all through the practice, Vince Lombardi just laid into him words after words after words, and you're not doing this right. You're doing this. You're not doing that. This, doing this. Boy, at the end of that practice, this was written by Jerry Kramer, and told by Jerry Kramer, and he says, I sat there after practice in front of my locker thinking, I wonder if I should just quit. I just can't do anything. Everything I did was wrong. I'm not going to make a guard here in the professional football league or whatever. And Vince Lombardi came, who was just Adam all name, came by and said to him, "Kramer, great job today. I believe you're going to be one of the greatest guards that the National Football League's ever had." It just changed him, and he became a Hall of Fame guard that is known for a game that they call the Freeze Bowl, that it was with only a few seconds left. They were playing it in Packer Stadium. I know, ladies, you're excited about this. They were playing it in Packer Stadium, 13 below weather. That's just the weather without the wind chill. Last play of the game, seconds. Bart Starr hands it off to their back, and they go right over. No, excuse me, Bart Starr went over. Went over right behind Jerry Kramer, and is known for the famous win. Isn't it so true about our words? We can really make someone feel bad. But what God wants us to do is have a wholesome tongue that's like the tree of life, as we see in Proverbs 15:4. You see, words can encourage or depress an individual, but words that bring healing contribute to a person's emotional health, just as a healthy tree, a source of strength and growth. And so remember that your words can bring health to someone. Those are constructive words. Make them feel better. Number five, it respects and does not abuse or mock knowledge. It respects and does not abuse or mock knowledge. Proverbs 10:21. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. But the lips of righteous feed many. In other words, the speech of the righteous pastures many. In other words, what is it? The words that we have do what? What happens in a pasture? It says here, the lips of the righteous feed many. What happens in a pasture? Come on, I know you didn't get your nap or did get your nap, but this afternoon. But what happens in a pasture? Yes, they feed. So in a pasture, there's many. We can think of a shepherd, and we realize that they feed, they instruct. There's caring. There's guarding. As they communicate by words to others. You see, what the righteous say is edifying and enhancing, which is common life. Proverbs 16:24 says, "Pleasant words are as honeycomb, sweet to the soul, health to the bones." The word pleasant there really would be a little different than the idea we think of pleasant, because the word pleasant there really means delightful. So it says, delightful words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, health to the bones again. It respects and does not abuse and mock knowledge. It encourages, it soothes, it commends. And look at Proverbs 12:25. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. Words of encouragement will lift the spirits of someone who is depressed through anxious fear. Because heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. Or it could have the idea, a good word, a kind word, an encouraging word, an insightful words. Have you ever seen someone and you see something and you just know, others might just say, well, you're discouraged, but you think you know what it's about. You discern and have an insight. And so you go and give some very insightful words that really encourage that person. Those are words that are constructive. It respects people, does not abuse or mock knowledge. In fact, it says in Proverbs 12:25, heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. A kind word maketh it glad. By the right sayings can cheer you up. Number six, we see that it's kind. The right tongue, the constructive tongue, is kind. She openeth her mouth in Proverbs 31, 26. And who is this talking about? I'll wait. We'll be here as long as you, until you answer. The virtuous woman. There's the context. She openeth her mouth with wisdom. There's the tongue. She openeth her mouth. Wisdom's there. We've already learned it. And many verses really back that up. And her tongue is the law of what? Kindness. She does not indulge in gossip and slander or falsehoods. She holds her tongue. In fact, she's kind, compassionate. And being right in what she says makes her as nearly complete as you can be in a sinful world. She's wise and gracious in her speech. She uses good and practical common sense in her discussions. Her instruction is very reliable because it's law of kindness. There's a kind and faithful instruction that comes from her because she opened their mouth, wisdom, and her tongue is a law of kindness. How are you at speaking kindly? Number 7, it speaks about good, acceptable, and truthful matters. It avoids trashy conversations. Proverbs 8, 6, and 7. Here, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth. Wickedness is abomination to my lips. In other words, wisdom begins her motivation by declaring that she has noble things to say. What is noble? Noble just simply means, literally means excellent things. The sense of truth here refers to what is firm and dependable, and that the reflection is within the heart before the speech, things that are excellent within the heart before the speech. What does it say? It speaks about good and acceptable and truthful matters. That's what the constructive voice does, the tongue does. Speaks of truthful matters. You know the facts. Proverbs 10:32, the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable or pleasing, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. In other words, the righteous speaks wise words, bears fruit that's fitting and appropriate. You see, the righteous speak words that produce pleasure or delightfulness. In fact, Proverbs teaches that good people use few words and choose them well. They choose them well. And so a constructive tongue speaks about good, acceptable, and truthful matters. Number 8, it preserves and protects your life instead of destroying it. Wow, that's something a tongue does. It protects, it preserves your life, protects your life instead of doing the opposite. Proverbs 14:3, in the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. The talk of a fool results in being punished with a rod, but wise words protect a person. You see, this verse describes how the foolish man brings punishment on himself by his words, but wise men by the same means increase their security. The lips of the wise shall preserve them. Number 9, a constructive tongue gives delight to leaders that depend upon the counsel of their tongues. Now, it's talking about kings here, so we can have the principle of leaders. But people who are honest and candid are valuable to governments. I'm not going to go very far in this one. We could go for a while. But political leaders know that within such their domains will become anarchy if they don't have that wise and truthful speech. Because it says, righteous lips delight a leader. A bad leader would one that doesn't like righteous or truth spoken. And it says that they love him that speaketh right. They're their best friends. Those that speak right, not what they want to hear, that want to pat them on the back. No, those that speak right, those are of whom they love. And so we see the delight is theirs. Number 10, it gives joy to you and others. Proverbs 23:16, that constructive brings joy to you. It says, yea, my reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. What in the world does that mean, reins, as far as in the King James Version? Probably some of your translations might have something that gives it the understanding. Does anyone have another word for it? Says in yours, where it says reins. Yes, my what? Inmost being. Anybody else have anything else? Inmost being is probably the most common translation of this word. Reins, I keep thinking of a horse myself. I'm just telling you, I know I'm not too wise. I think of reins. So what's he saying? But then again, says, yea, my reins shall rejoice. My innermost being. This was a word that really literally means, you ready? Kidneys. It means kidneys. That's the Hebrew word. It says, in other words, yea, my kidneys shall rejoice. Well, what the word was used in the Hebrew language, as you understand, that was used for emotions, your innermost being. So when they would hear this word, they would not think of your literal, what's the kidneys got to do with it? They would automatically be thinking about my emotions. Just as we would say, my emotions. They would think of your emotions, your inmost being. That's what it literally became to know. So we see that the organs represent the innermost being, thus the seat of emotions. And when the son shows wisdom in his speech, he becomes a source of joy to his father. Do you not? Dads love it when your children or someone says some wise words or in their innermost being, has their lips, they speak right things. You know, there's certain things your kids can ask, and if they say it that way and that right way, what do they have? You can give them the world. I mean, tell me you wouldn't. You see, when you speak right things, there's rejoicing. Look what it says in Proverbs 15:23. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. In other words, appropriately spoken words. Saying the right thing at the right time delights not only the hearer, but also the one who says it. That the idea of timely words are beneficial. One writer put it this way, there are few satisfactions in life greater than the satisfaction of derived from saying the right thing at the right time in the right way. How many times have you said things, nothing wrong, but later on as you swung, nothing wrong, I'm not talking about sin, I'm saying you've said certain things and later on you said, I could have said that differently. I think I could have said that in a better way. It really would have caught what I meant. Well, it says here, as we look at it, it says a man has joy by the answer of his mouth and a word spoken in due season. Oh, how pleasant, how good it is. And we need that. There's where we go to prayer again. God, help me this week to discern someone that I could encourage with my mouth, that I could, whether it's praying for you and how you feeling, been praying for you, or something that is coming up. For Proverbs 15:23 says, the thoughts of the wicked are abomination, Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words. In other words, pure words are pleasant words. Pleasant words are pure in God's sight. They're acceptable in his sight. And so we see here that it gives you joy to you and others that are pleasing to you. It also says that it's gracious. Of course, we see the think of kind, but here talking about gracious, it really says the words of, in Ecclesiastes 10:12, the words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. The words of the wise man's mouth are gracious. All wisdom, writing deals with the tongue sooner or later. The character of one's talk is the acid test of wisdom, the small rudder that stirs the ship, as one man says. It says there, the words of the wise mouth, they're gracious. They're winsome. And the words where it says gracious, it can be translated different places, but let me just say different places that it's used, the same word, and translated in the Hebrew, in the Bible that we have. It's translated the idea of grace, embodying all that is gracious or kindly, where the same word is used in Proverbs 15, 23, and 25, 11, it's translated appropriate. In Ephesians 4, 29, and Colossians 3, 8, it's helpful. In other words, suitable for the occasion. In Proverbs 25, 12, and 15, it's translated likable. So we see that the word of the wise man's mouth they're likable. They're appropriate. They're suitable for the occasion. They're helpful. Is that what you want your words to be? You use those words that way. That's constructive. That will glorify God. They're winsome. Number 12, it is respected. The constructive tongue is respected. The words of a wise man are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. In other words, what we have there is the wise man's quiet words in their councils would have been worth more than the chairman shouting for order in a meeting of people who have nothing to say but insist on saying it. In other words, you know what? Sometimes that quiet person, it doesn't get across, and the ones that speak the loudest always get heard. But it's that one that's the quiet. The words of a wise man are heard in quiet more than. So sometimes, in other words, that person's opinion is respected. Their words are respected. Have you ever known those? They just don't speak much, but boy, when they do speak, there's wisdom. You always wanted to ask them, what do you think? And so we realize that also in number 13, it calms others. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. You see, the way one answers another person will have an effect on the response. So it says, a soft answer turneth away wrath. That's constructive. A soft answer. Responding with a humble attitude. Conciliatory speech can calm an angry person. Maybe not the one you're talking to, but the one that's speaking. It will calm you. Look at Proverbs 25:15. By long forbearing is a prince persuaded, and a soft tongue breaketh the bones. Did you know a tongue doesn't have a bone in it, but yet it can break bones? It's unusually influential, accomplishing far more than a lost temper and harsh words. That's what it does. It accomplishes much more. Harsh words will break it. A soft tongue belongs to a person who exercises self-control and calmness, breaking down the stiff opposition. By long forbearing is a prince persuaded, and a soft tongue breaketh the bone. Number 14, it is friendly and influential for that which is good. Proverbs 16:21, the wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increases knowledge. Notice that verse. The wise in heart, okay, out of the abundance of the heart, and then look at the last part. The sweetness of the lip increases learning. The mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the mouth speaks. The heart shall be called prudent. When the heart is right, and the sweetness of the lips will increase learning. Your learning and those around. We've seen that in other verses already this evening. Wise speech will build a reputation for competence and will enhance influence. The teaching will be well received because it's very persuasive. It's discerning. It's gracious. It promotes instruction. And it increases an appropriation. So constructive tongues, friendly, influential. That's what we need to strive for. A lot of verses, isn't it? A lot of stuff that God gives us. We are not to forget all our benefits. That's why I've given you a handout so you have them. Again, you can put them somewhere where I can just be reminded, okay, what was that one? Oh, I see that. Yeah, I need to have a constructive tongue. For number 15 says, it will give you satisfaction and contentment. Proverbs 18:20, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall be filled. You see, a person's words and the harvest from his lips can benefit himself when his words are positive and uplifting. Proverbs 13:2, a man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgression shall eat violence. You see, the fruit of one's lips is his talk. What you say, that's your fruit of your lips. And it says here, a man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of transgressors shall eat violence. You're going to eat the wrong. What are you eating today? It says the fruit of one's lips is talk, referring to obviously to a righteous person. But speaking positively, helping others with one's words, he in turn is blessed. In Proverbs 12:14, a man shall be satisfied with the good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands shall be rendered unto him. You see, fruit indicates results and consequences of one's speech and actions. And that will bring satisfaction if it's constructive, and it will bring contentment. We have a wonderful responsibility with the mouth that God's given us and the tongue that God's given us, don't we? Do you think God wants us to say the right things? Look at, he's given us what we need to know about life and godliness in his word. 2 Peter 1, 3, 4. He's given it to us. Now, tonight, just in these, and there's others, but just here alone for a constructive tongue, these 15 points, but all these verses that we have. Do you think God wants us to speak right words? Do you really? I hope you grab that and say, hey, wow, I can't remember all this. What's the principle? God, my tongue's yours. And I'm made after your image, and I need to make sure that I have a constructive tongue towards others. Think before I speak. Because he says, listen, an unwholesome tongue is not tolerable. And he gives us all of these, this information of truth about his character. And he wants us to live like him. And this is how he wants us to live, with our tongue. That it might be constructive to all of us here tonight. And this week, the people we talk to. Yes, the unsaved people you talk to this week needs to be words that will build them up, help them construct these different principles. And they can't understand that, but you can, because the Spirit of God that lives within you. So let us make sure that we can just say, Lord, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips, that they might be constructive, that will build people up and those around me, along with myself. Our dear Heavenly Father, again,